Good morning, and welcome to worship at West Valley Presbyterian Church.
Morning, everybody. Gary's going to play for us while we pray. So if you would, just bow your heads with me. Moment of silence just to get our hearts and our minds a little clear, because I need it. Let us pray. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for this brand new day, another opportunity to connect with the three of you. Thank you for the reminder that this is a day the Lord has made, and that we are to rejoice and be glad in it. Holy Spirit, continue to guide us and teach us how to rejoice and be glad. Continue to guide us on making that choice each day to choose the Lord Jesus Christ's joy. We know that the Lord's joy is not about our earthly happiness. It is the joy of your redeeming sacrifice on the cross and our salvation through your resurrection. Thank you, Father, for loving all of us so much that you sent us your only Son to restore our relationship with you. Lord, help us in our daily struggles of staying connected to you. You provide a straight but a narrow path for us. It is easy for us to be distracted, and we are prone to wander. Thank you, though, that you, Father, Jesus, and the Spirit are always there when we return. We pray for your healing hands and ways to be upon those who are in their last earthly days. Comfort them and welcome them home to you. We lift up those who are less fortunate and those who are ill. Continue to remind us, Holy Spirit, that these are our brothers and sisters, and for us to help them in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift up our brother Steve Westland, dealing with his foot, Lord. And Lord, what provides us with oxygen? The amazing Amazon rainforest. We ask for your hands to be upon that and provide some rain. Put that fire out. We pray also that you would show us where forgiveness is needed, whether we need to ask for forgiveness or be forgiven. Bless Pastor Morgan as you use him as your conduit today to bless us with your message. So, Lord, we refer to your word, the Holy Bible, Matthew 6, 9 through 13, for your teaching us how we should pray, saying, Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our text this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning at chapter 28. As I mentioned to you, this is a very mini-series, just two sermons. Last week we looked at an invitation to greatness in the form of looking at the two great commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This morning, we are looking at the Great Commission, the invitation to go into all the world and to make disciples. So here we are at the end of the extraordinary Gospel of Matthew. This is not the only expression of the Great Commission, by the way, but it is the one that we often look to because Matthew does such a great job of sort of rounding it out and providing some really important detail. Here we hear Jesus say this, Matthew 28, beginning at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. This is after Jesus has been resurrected, and so he appears to them at that place. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some still doubted. I love Matthew's honesty there. That even seeing Jesus resurrected, they're still struggling to, it's still difficult to get their heads around and their hearts around the extraordinary reality of what has happened. They saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." This sermon is called An Invitation to the Great Commission. But as you probably noticed, Jesus isn't actually giving an invitation, right? Jesus is actually giving a command. But we don't like commands because we're grown-ups and this is America and we can do what we want, right? But if we hear Jesus' invitation as the most gracious of commands, like, "I command you to go to the beach and enjoy the surf. I command you to enjoy this amazing chocolate cake. I command you to go out and play and have fun. I command you." I wonder if you would be open to the idea that this commandment is actually an incredible invitation. And to the extent that we hear the call to be a disciple, but then resist or are reluctant or struggle to live out the balance of that command to make disciples, to the extent that we do the one thing but are hesitant to do the other, we miss out on the fun. We miss out on the joy. We miss out on the power. We miss out on the fullness of what God has for us. Does that make sense? Think about it like a pool party. Have you ever been to a pool party? Now, when you go to the pool party, there's a few people that you'll see all the time, right? There's the people who come in, and the first thing they do is they are right in the pool. And chances are, they don't get out of the pool except maybe to get a snack. And then they're right back in the pool again, right? People who are like, "I love pools. I can't wait to be at this pool party. This pool is the most fun thing to me." You got the people who are all in with the pool party, right? And there's probably how many, let's imagine this, there's 30 people at the pool party. Maybe there's like six. There's six of them that go all the way in, first thing, and then, you know, they're the last ones out. Then there are the people who sort of sit by the side of the pool, and then they stick their foot in, "Oh my gosh, that's cold." And then they go get chips. But at some point, they sort of warm it up, and they decide, "Okay, I'm going to get in and get in and get in," and finally they kind of get themselves in there. And by the time they're, and then when they're in, they're having such a good time that they can't believe that it's time to be done. Then there's other people who, they look nice. This is a party, and so they want to look nice. They don't want to get their hair messed up. They don't want to mess up their makeup. They don't want their swimsuit to get, you know, wet. Right. They don't want that. So they'll sit on the side of the pool, and they'll have their feet in because they really want to be part of the fun, but they don't want to get too invested in this, right? They want to put their feet in, and that is probably where they would be if it weren't for that fourth group of people. You know the fourth group of people I'm talking about, don't you? I see some head nods. There's that other group of people, and they're different from that first group that just gets in the pool and just having a good time. No, there's that other group of people who probably the ones that I like the least, they're the ones who decide, "We're going to help everybody get into the pool." They're the ones who will see, notice the people sitting on the side of the pool with their feet in and just kind of enjoying being in the, and they're the ones who will promptly push them in, right? And worse yet, they will notice other people who've been sort of hanging out at the edges, nowhere near the pool, and they're like, "Okay, it's time for you to go in the pool." And so they'll team up to get people into the pool, right? Because that fourth group of people are the ones who are convinced that if everybody's in the pool, that's when the max fun happens. That's the joy of it. This is a pool party after all, right? And so they're going to help us get in the pool one way or the other. Now, I don't like those people very much, but guess what? For the next year, I'm going to be that guy. And I'm not going to do it alone. I'm going to have some help. Or maybe a better way of putting it is I intend to help somebody else help you get into the pool. And that, friends, is what brings me to introduce to you that this little mini-series that we're starting is actually an introduction to a whole long year theme that we're going to give ourselves to that we're calling Jump In. We're going to be jumping in to discipleship. We're going to be jumping in. The goal is to call each of us and all of us to understand ourselves not as only as disciples, which is kind of easy for those of us, especially people who've been in church their whole lives, but also to ask the question, how and who helps you live into the role of making a disciple and being a disciple maker and sharing the love of God and helping somebody else in your life to be more like Jesus. Now, before we're all said and done, the goal is that each and every one of us will be able to name specifically, this is the person I feel like God has brought into my life that I'm helping them to be more like Jesus. Maybe it will be more than one person. Maybe it'll be I'm helping a colleague be more like Jesus as we just talk about the stuff going on in their life and how hard it is and I'm praying for them. And maybe I'm helping my son be more like Jesus as we are now able to have the kind of deeper conversations about life and faith that I can really begin to share that with him. And maybe I'm helping my spouse be more like Jesus in that I'm demonstrating a deeper love and compassion, but I'm being really intentional about talking about how we live this thing out, this following Jesus thing out in our marriage. But we're going to talk and we're going to name how it is that we are committed to the work of going to the people closest to us and then further and further out. Because you notice, Jesus says, to the ends of the earth. And as Mother Teresa liked to say, change the whole world and start with the person closest to you. So we want to go to attend to that. So I promised you last week that I would give you an update about where we are in our transition. And this is an opportunity, this introduction to this year-long series is precisely that. But let me begin at the beginning. When I first came last October, I began to meet with the session as the transition pastor to begin to identify the ways in which we might pursue a path of transition in order to have new leadership for West Valley Presbyterian Church. And when we got together for a retreat in the fall, did we do it in the fall? We might have done it in January. January? Thank you. In January, it was time to do Advent and Christmas and stuff, right? So in January, we all came together and did an off-site retreat, and we talked about different paths in which we might get new pastoral leadership. The path that we are most familiar with as Presbyterians is to go and do a pastor search. We would form a nominating committee, we would do a mission study, and we would search for a pastor that way. Another way that we talked about doing seeking new leadership was to identify another congregation in the area that might have a pastor and have a good thing going, but they don't have a home. To be able to think about what would it look like if we found another congregation that has a great ministry and great things happening, a new life happening, but they don't have a home yet, and we have an amazing home and an amazing established community of faith, and that together we could come together and be complementary and grow together. Now, I want to be really clear that if that sounds like the relationship we have with Onuri, I want to humbly submit this is different from that. And I can unpack that for us, okay? But we were thinking very much about, wonder if there's another church meeting somewhere, meeting in a house or meeting at a school, and what would that look like? So we have the traditional way. We have this sort of identify another community way, and we were brainstorming, you know, two or three other paths that we could take through our transition. The session, even before I arrived, had explored this idea of finding another congregation to connect with previously. They'd actually talked about this with some intentionality. And so amongst the session, there was a fair amount of openness to this. And so I was given permission to begin to sort of inquire to see if there might be congregations out here in the valley where that would kind of, you know, where pastor, you know, that kind of thing might happen. And one of our elders, Dan Ewan, he came to us and came to me and said, "Hey, I know of a church kind of like this. Would you be open to talking to the pastor?" And I said, "Sure, absolutely." And I'm sort of seeing myself as a person who could sort of bring, you know, matchmakers might not be the best word, but sort of try to be a bridge, okay? And so he says, "Let me go talk to that pastor first, and then you know, I'll let you know." And so he went and talked to his pastor friend, and he comes to me and he says, "My friend says he'd be happy to meet with you, but here's the funny thing. You know him." And I said, "I do." And he goes, "Yeah. His name's Scott Liu." And I mean, I was like, "You mean the Scott Liu I went to college with? You mean the Scott Liu that he and I were part of First Presbyterian Church of Berkeley together? You mean the Scott Liu who was my housemate? That's Scott Liu?" And he says, "Yeah, that's Scott Liu." Now, before I tell you more about Scott, I need to tell you about another person, and his name is Mark. I honestly don't remember Mark's name. But for the summer that Scott and I were living in this house on the north side of Berkeley, Scott came to me and came to the other people who were subletting for the summer, and he said, "I've got this friend named Mark, and he needs some help." And he explained that Mark was homeless. Mark was a very intelligent, articulate guy, had some addiction issues, had some significant physical issues. He had had a reconstructive surgery when he was younger, but it wasn't really fully effective. And as a result, he often fouled himself. He often couldn't control his bowels. And when that happened, a homeless man with soiled clothes, needing a place to wash his clothes, take a shower, clean up. It was a really hard place to be. And as you can imagine, Mark had a host of other really challenging issues. Scott came to us as a group and said, "I feel like we could help this person." And so we had a long, you know, house meeting, and we concluded that yes, we would seek to do this. And so every few days, Mark would come and he would need to take a shower and he would need to do laundry. And it was not pleasant, I'll be honest with you. It wasn't pleasant dealing with Mark and the smell and the stuff. And sometimes he needed to sleep, you know, he just didn't have any other place to sleep. So we let him sleep on the couch. And we did this for a summer. By the end of it, as we were all beginning to transition and new people were moving in, this arrangement couldn't go on forever. And as much as we wanted to be helpful to Mark, this was a temporary solution and he needed something more permanent and we could not provide it. And that became a hard moment. I went away to study abroad for a year, and when I came back, new people were living in the house. I don't know what had happened to Mark. Scott was moving on and doing other things in his life as well. And I remember bumping into Scott on campus. And we caught up, saw how he was doing. It had been, you know, almost a year since he and I had seen each other. And I said, you know, I'm really... I feel bad about how things ended with Mark. I felt like we could have done better for him. And I just didn't, it was a hard, hard moment. And Scott, I just want you to know, I am sorry that it didn't work out as well as we had hoped it would. And Scott looked at me and he said, that's okay, Morgan. Because if God had told me that I needed to rent an apartment just so that Mark would have a place to live, I would have done it. And I looked at him and I saw in his eyes, this is a man who would have. He absolutely would have done that. That's who Scott was. I'm telling you a story about something that happened 20 years ago. No, almost 30. That's scary. 30 years ago, I still can take you to the place on the campus. That is the kind of impression that Scott made on me as a man who, as I think you picked up, discipled me and the other men in our house, challenged us and called us up to be more like Jesus, and who was willing to walk his faith no matter what the cost. So, when I met with Scott 2 or 3 months ago for the first time in 30 years, and we began to catch up and I got to hear about his story, guess what I found out? He is exactly the same man today that he was 30 years ago, only more so. I've known about Scott's journey. I knew about his service to the Union Presbyterian Church in Manila. I knew his heart for missions. I known a little, you know, I'd catch periphery, but he's since moved into a covenant congregation. And if you know anything about covenant pastors and covenant churches, they love relationship and they love warmth and collegiality and friendship the way we love structure and polity and rules. And so I wasn't surprised to hear that Scott has been serving as the pastor for Great Exchange Covenant Church for the last 7 years and has had his emphasis, his passion around creating deep and abiding relationships. So Scott and I began to talk. And we began to talk about what it might be like for us to explore the possibility where his community, a community that is about 150 people right now, over half of which are kids, meeting at the King's Academy, how that community and our community, West Valley Presbyterian Church, might begin to get to know each other and consider the possibility of becoming one together. We began to explore that, and we explored that by having Scott and one of his lead team members come and meet us and share a meal with us, and we began to talk a little bit. And then over the course of the summer, our elders have been going to visit Great Exchange and getting a feel for the community and a feel for what they're about and what their passions are and how things are for them. And they've had opportunities to talk with Scott and talk with other lead team members and just experience church. And so we came back together again, Scott and I, about 3 weeks ago to say, okay, what would feel like the next right step? And like I said, this is sort of a little bit of a matchmaking thing. And so we're sort of in this little awkward dance. And we finally get to the moment where he's like, I'm just trying to understand what this would look like. And I said, well, look, here's what I really see. I see that Great Exchange Covenant Church has got a great ministry and a great pastor, but needs a home. And West Valley Presbyterian Church has a great home and a great legacy, and it needs a pastor. And we're just trying to see if these things go together. He said, oh, okay, yeah, I see that, He goes, well, it sure seems to me like the best way for us to figure out if this would work or not is for me to start pastoring them. I thought, whoa, yeah, I guess that does make some sense. And from that moment, we began to think about how he and I might create an opportunity for West Valley to experience Scott as a pastor, and to get to know and experience this and do that in a way that creates, that keeps the relational equity high Like really investing in the relationship stuff and keeps the risk pretty low. And what we talked about together was the possibility that, in a sense, he and I would support each other in our mutual ministries. I continuing to serve as the transitional pastor, keeping things going here and continuing to lead and make sure and maintain continuity for West Valley while he continues to lead Great Exchange, but that we would begin to cross-pollinate, he and I together, where he would come and preach here and I would go and preach there, and that together we would, these two congregations, explore this theme of discipleship for a year. Of course, as Scott and I get to do this, we then are able to open up to our respective congregations the opportunity to do this as well. Where you, as West Valley folks, would be invited to go and visit King's Academy and experience their service. And that they folks from West Valley or from Great Exchange would be able to come and meet with us and get to know us. Scott would get to know you some, you'd get to know him. I'd get to know the Great Exchange leadership and be able to support them in what they're doing. Let me be super clear. We haven't got all this worked out. We just had this idea that we felt like God might be really in it. So we took the next step, and Scott presented it to his leadership on a Thursday, let them think about it for a few days, and then on Sunday asked them if they were open to it. And they said, yeah, we think that this could be really, that we could, there's something here. Likewise, I then brought it to our leadership, to our session on a Thursday, gave them a couple days to think about it. And then on Sunday, we came back together again and said, what do you guys think? And they said, we really think God's in this. And so now I'm sharing it with you. This experiment begins right now. We're beginning it right now. Now, that doesn't mean Scott's hiding outside and he's about to come in. That would be fun. But we got lots of logistical pieces to figure out together. Opportunities for him to come, for you to get to experience him. Begin to create conversation, times where we can talk more. You could get, and you know, I want you to hear his heart. Frankly, I redeemed my 2.5-hour commute home on Thursday by having a long conversation with him. And we talked about this. He says, maybe I should just come first and let them just sort of ask me questions. And I'm like, oh, no. No, I am not putting you in front of that group. No way. Am I going to let those guys interrogate you? Not a chance. Because I know how you are. I know how I am. Our minds immediately say, well, what about? Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah, thank you. I'm like, no, God. Scott, I don't want us to start with all the whatabouts, because we know there's a ton. No, I want them to hear your heart. I want them to hear your heart for Christ. I want them to hear your heart for God's people. I wanted them to hear your heart for discipleship. And once they've got a chance to hear that, then yeah, we're going to need an opportunity for them to ask you some good questions and you to be able to get to know them better. And likewise, finding ways that our congregation and Great Exchange can get to know each other in a way that doesn't feel fraught with risk, where people can get to know each other and mingle. And remember, I used at the beginning of this the image of throwing people into the pool. That's about discipleship. That's not about this relationship. You following me? Scott and I want to throw these two congregations, each and every one of you, out into the pool of discipleship to experience the fun of all that. But we're also really mindful that these two communities are really precious, and that we need and want the opportunity for them to both to get to know each other in a way that feels easy and calm, and there's no hurry and there's no rush, and we don't have to live in fear of the whatabouts. That the whatabouts will attend to themselves in God's timing, and we'll attend to that thoughtfully and carefully along the way. So a couple of questions that have come up that I want to answer now, so that, because I don't want you guys wandering around going, well, wait, but there is a couple big whatabouts. So first one, what about Onuri? And my short answer would be, first, this arrangement that we're exploring is very different from Onuri. There's a particular kind of partnership that West Valley and Onuri have that, to me, in my heart, is that it would be able to continue. And that I believe that God was in that. And what, if God is in this and God was in that, then God's going to bring all that together in a particular way that is going to be an incredible blessing to everybody inside this church, everybody who meets on this corner, and to this entire community. I see God doing a greater thing than any of us could wrap our heads and hearts around. But this is different. This is not about, in a sense, coming up with a third congregation to join this, to come onto this campus. This isn't about three congregations trying to coexist on one property. This is about two congregations becoming one, and that one congregation continuing to have a rich partnership with Onuri, such that God brings all things into unity in ways that are just amazing to us. That's my hope. I don't get to decide that. Nobody gets to fully decide that. We just get to kind of have our hearts open to it. But I really want to be clear. This isn't about bringing in another it's a crass way of putting it, and I don't wish to be crass, but it makes it easier. This isn't about adding another renter. Gotcha? You follow me? This isn't about getting another roommate. This is about really seeing two congregations coming together to share ministry. So that's the first what about. Second what about is, what about our vision frame team? We have a vision frame team. And the vision framing team was charged with really thinking about our vision and mission and doing that in a very intentional way that would prepare and serve as a mission study for us if we ultimately decided we needed to go and form a search team and go and seek a new senior pastor. That team continues to meet. In fact, they're meeting this afternoon after church. We're going to keep doing that work. That work is going to continue. What I've already seen, having led that group of people, is this: the things that we know about West Valley and what makes West Valley great actually seem to be congruent with this experiment that we're going to undertake. That is, West Valley has always been great at finding other like-minded organizations and people and partnering well with them for the good of the community. That is, West Valley has always been the kind of church that creates healthy relational dynamics in which people feel loved and supported. I've had people asking me, hey, Pastor Morgan, you asked us to fill out these thank you notes. Whatever happened to those? And I've collected them, and I kind of began to sort them out and kind of organize them to try to get my head around it, and I've been sort of saving them for the right moment. These are just some samples that, to me, really line up with what it means to do this experiment with Pastor Scott and Great Exchange Covenant and to live into who we are. The first one, no names, just kind of here, sentiments. Remember, if you weren't here, we found some West Valley Presbyterian Church stationery, and I said, hey, here's an idea. Let's write a thank you note to God on West Valley stationery about West Valley. And folks took to that really beautifully. Here's one of them. Lord, I'm grateful for the steadfast mission of West Valley, the compassion, fellowship, and service reflected consistently over the years. Despite many changes and challenges, the church and congregation have continued to know Christ and make him known. Let us remain true to that mission ahead too. Another one. West Valley has always been a healing church, reaching out to those burdened with mental or physical or emotional problems. For this, I'm grateful. The members of West Valley are good examples of Christians welcoming and fulfilling necessary roles and doing exceptional jobs. Especially, this one really spoke to me with respect to where we are right now. I'm grateful for members of this church, and there are many of them, who taught me to pray from the heart. You know what they call that, right? It's called making a disciple. As a child, I had only learned rote prayers, prescripted and recited. It was inspirational for me to witness and learn open prayer. That's a really important function of disciple making, isn't it? I learned by observing and listening. It also took me many years to feel comfortable praying in a group. Thank you. This is the kind of work that we've been doing all along, and we want to continue doing. Amen? This is the kind of work we want to partner with others who also care about this as much as we do. Amen? And this is the kind of work we want to do together. Last, what about? I've mentioned to you, and I want to thank you in advance. I've mentioned to you several times now, Pastor Scott Liu, Great Exchange Covenant Church, and I didn't see any of you reach for your phones to start Googling that. Thank you. I appreciate that. At least wait till I'm done with this sermon. What about partnering with a covenant church? So, first I can say that the Constitution of ECO includes provisions for the creation of unions, unions and federated congregations. There's provision for our church to be able to partner with another reformed body in a way that can be approved and endorsed by a presbytery if the congregation votes in the affirmative to do that. So there's nothing in our constitution as an ECO church that prohibits us from doing that. Also, some of you might be aware that when this congregation left the PCUSA and left the Presbytery of San Jose under the PCUSA, there was what was referred to as a clawback clause. And the clawback clause says, if you leave the PCUSA, join another reformed body, which was the requirement at that time, but then leave that reformed body to go do something else, then we can take the property back. And the reason why that clawback provision was in place from the perspective of the PCUSA was they believed, rightly or wrongly, that the evangelical congregations who wanted to leave the PCUSA ultimately just wanted to go become independent congregationalist churches. They didn't want to be part of a connectional community. They didn't want to be a part of a larger body doing mission together. And there was a lot of cynicism and resentment around that. And so they created these clawback clauses. The clawback clause is in effect, by the way, until 2025. It started in 2015. It was a 10-year clause, ends in 2025. I share these whatabouts with you so that you know that the leadership of the church is aware of them. We're thinking about them. None of that plays into what we're going to do for the next year. And if this evolves the way we hope and we think that God might be in it, if that all happens, then we'll figure that stuff out as we go. It'll be okay. There's no big potholes in the road that would keep us from being able to continue to move forward in union together. I have gone long. I don't care because I needed to communicate this to you completely and well. But I do also need to finish, so I'm going to do that now. This is not the end of the story, it is the beginning. This is not, now leave me alone, it's, now let's start talking. This is absolutely a time when you can ask me lots of questions, to which I will probably say in the short term, I don't know yet. But in the long term, we will answer and work them out, and absolutely want to do that together. I'm excited about that. I hope you are too. Let us pray. Loving Lord, here we all are seeking to be on the same page and seeking to look in the same direction. That is, looking toward the future and toward the way in which we think you're at work. And so, Lord, we now ask that you would give us eyes to see how you are at work. Give us ears to hear how you are speaking to our leaders, to each other, and to us as a whole community in this moment. We ask that you would give us adventurous, courageous hearts that truly want to be that which you have invited us to, commanded us to do, to be a disciple-making church, to be followers of Jesus who will help others become followers of Jesus. Bless us to this work, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, friends, receive the benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the love of God draw us closer to one another and draw us closer into union with all God's people for the making of disciples, those who know and follow Jesus and are more like Him for the sake of the world. I send you now in God's peace and the fullness of love. Go in peace. Amen.